Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Happy Wednesday, everyone. You're listening to All About Healing. I'm your host, Emily Francis, and we have the fabulous producer, Jay, on the line with us. Always so grateful to have Jay to hold this show together. I want to jump right in because this is a conversation that I don't have often enough, and I want to have it with Sue Van Rays. She is the author of the new book, Food and Freedom. Discover your personal recipe to eat, think, and live well. Sue, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you.
Emily, I am so happy to be here. Thank you so much. It's such an honor to be your guest.
Thank you. And how recently was your book released?
My book was released in April, so just a few months ago, and it has been such an expansive and fun time to be launching the book. So I'm so glad I can share that with your audience.
And you're in New World Library. I have to say, congratulations. That's a huge deal. That's wonderful.
Oh, thank
and that's
you.
A really tough publisher to get. So I know that they publish books that change lives. So congratulations.
Oh,
that's huge. And
you.
My hat's off to you.
Oh, it's been so exciting and so much fun, and they have been so supportive, and I just feel so grateful to have such an incredible publisher.
Yeah, that's huge. It's really huge. It makes such a difference. And so I want to jump in. You're in Boulder, Colorado, am I right?
Yes, I am. You are right.
So you're like in the thick of the healthy heart of the nation, really, and I love that for you and for your clients. Let's start, before we jump into the book, tell me, I know that you do this for a living, people can work with you. Let's talk about what you offer to clients.
Thank you. That is such a fun question. Well, I'm a functional nutritionist, and I specialize in also food psychology. So I bring really both the really kind of clinical, science-y side of nutrition along with the relationship to food side in my private practice. I also host women's wellness and yoga retreats here in Colorado, but also internationally in both Costa Rica and Bali every year, where I can really bring a lot of my work together because I'm a lifelong student and yoga teacher. Which I love to weave all of those aspects together when we can dive into an immersive experience. So I have a ton of different kinds of clients working with lots of different kinds of health issues and different kinds of food psychology concerns, and it is such a passion for me to be able to support them through healing and through really, you know, improving their well-being and improving their quality of life as a whole.
Do you work with a particular, like, do you specialize in a particular area, like you said, women? But I'm wondering, with all of this, do you work with children? Do you specialize, focus with women? What do you find most of your clientele?
Yeah, so I definitely, you know, really open up my private practice to those who need it. But I would say that my primary market is definitely women's health and women's relationship to food and body, and using both of the two different modalities, functional nutrition and food psychology, which actually have a really beautiful overlap in my work. But at the same time, a lot of those women have kids, or a lot of those women have husbands or brothers or sons, and I work with men as well. I just don't have quite as robust of a clientele from those niches, but I really have, being a mother myself, I've worked with my own kids through their lives, and I really love working with kids when they need help with various things, especially around things like food allergies and digestive health and neurodivergencies and things that we can really support them with food to, you know, gain some support and also just to feel a lot better in how they're showing up in the world.
I'm going to ask this sort of a, my own personal relationship to food has been really on and off throughout my life. I've been a vegetarian, and then I wasn't, and then did it again because of yoga, and then realized it really, I didn't do it well enough. It wasn't for me. I ended up getting really sick and not being able to recover from pneumonia until I added meat back in, and I'm a type O blood. But I know that there are ways around that, and I often think about, like today. Today I ate, I went to a place here called Dr. Juice, and I got this really healthy, lean, mean. It was spirulina and avocado, banana, fresh spinach, what else was in it? Almond milk, dates. And at first I took a sip and I swear it tasted like the yard. And then this, like, nostalgia came over me because once upon a time, this was like exactly my jam. And now, for a lot of years, I've gotten really far away from being really conscious about mindful eating and what it does, even though I now live in Malta where it's GMO-free. So I've gotten really into the study of how we grow our foods over here without the pesticides. But I do find that I'm a bit of a ping-pong in my own relationship with food. How did you get involved in this, and have you always been able to kind of maintain your relationship to food?
Wow, such a good question. And I had a very complicated relationship with food as a kid. I was a competitive gymnast, so my output of energy was very high from like age 6 all the way through college. And I had undiagnosed hypoglycemia, and I was a child of the 70s and 80s. So there was a fat-free era happening. Sugar and sugary cereals and things like that were front and center at our breakfast table. So I was basically setting myself up for total disaster every single day. I felt like I was insatiable, underweight, and my output of energy was so high, and I was constantly hungry, but I was often, you know, given choices that were going to just keep me on the blood sugar roller coaster. So really, and also in that era, I was also, because of my competitive sport, I was also kind of coached around, you know, not drinking soda and not eating junk food and things like that. It was fairly minimal, but it was still front and center of my awareness, is like that I needed to be healthy because I was trying really hard to be the best gymnast that I could be. So I really didn't feel good for most of my childhood. I was ravenously hungry. My blood sugar was crashing multiple times throughout the day, and nobody knew what that was at the time. I mean, I didn't really get medical support around it, except for they just kept telling me to eat more food. But so when I finally started to like learn a little bit about biochemistry in college and started to notice that the profile of hypoglycemia was matching up pretty identically with a lot of my symptoms and patterns, I started to be able to make some small changes. But it wasn't until my early 20s when I was officially diagnosed with very severe hypoglycemia, like off the chart. I remember them saying, like, she's actually not even on the chart because she's so severe. And then I was finally found some of the most helpful practitioners here in Boulder, Colorado, actually. I had just moved to Boulder, Colorado from Canada in my early 20s, and I started working with a really well-known naturopathic doctor, and she started drawing me blood sugar graphs in her office, really highlighting, like, what was happening inside of my blood sugar. And so I started to, at the time, I was actually a vegetarian, and I had been a vegetarian for quite a while, and during the fat-free era, I don't know if you remember, but, or if you were around for that, but the fat-free era paired with vegetarian was pretty hard for me because I wasn't getting enough protein and I wasn't getting hardly any fat. So I was surviving on primarily, you know, vegetarian proteins and carbs, or sorry, vegetarian, like low protein and carbohydrates and, you know, vegetables. So when I got to her office, yeah. I felt like I was so depleted. I basically crawled into her office in tears, feeling like I just didn't have any energy left. And she put me on a meat at every meal temporary diet, which was mind-blowing because I never heard of such a thing at the time. And I remember going home that evening and, you know, starting this endeavor, and I could feel a difference. Literally within 3 days, I felt like I had my life back. And so I continued on that regimen for a little while to build up my energy stores and to bring myself back into a good metabolic balance. And then I started, you know, easing off of it, being more flexible. Like I could eat animal protein at some meals, and if I wanted to have a vegetarian meal, I would do that. But I was kind of going back and forth with whatever was around and available. Because I do love a lot of vegetarian food, but I think what I really love is plants. And I was eating lots of high-quality plants and lots of high-quality fruits and vegetables. But I started to really get curious. I had a degree in biology, animal biology, so I started to get really curious about studying nutrition more in depth in my master's degree, which shortly after that started to really work for my body. I got so inspired by my own healing that it really became clear that that was a wonderful path for me to take to do my master's degree. And so I did that in a couple of years, and I really specialized in women's health and hormones and definitely the blood sugar spectrum within that time frame. And, you know, still to this day, that is the foundation of my business with so many of my clients. Because it's not really focused on as much as I think it needs to be for people to feel good. So people come into my office, and you said yourself, Boulder, Colorado is a healthy town, and Colorado is one of the healthiest states in the country. But that doesn't necessarily mean that people know how to balance their blood sugar. People might eat organic, or they might, you know, try radical eating styles, and they definitely are active, and we have a very, you know, active state with lots of great outdoor activities and things like that. But I'm constantly still giving people blood sugar 101 in my office. And I do work with people all over the country as well. But what I find is that there's not a lot of that type of education in the world of health and well-being. And it really can change how we feel fairly quickly, from inflammation to energy, to cravings, to quality of sleep, to body composition. And really one of my favorite ways is, like, it really makes us feel good because it impacts our brain chemistry so dramatically. So sometimes people who are even struggling with anxiety or depression or various neurotransmitter type situations that are not at appropriate levels, they'll also notice a major shift in how they're feeling day to day. And so I keep coming back to that foundation over and over and over again. And there's a whole chapter about it in my new book, and it's woven throughout the entire manuscript. And I really feel like it's something that so many people can benefit from learning, how to feed themselves in a way that's biochemically sound.
I mean, you're speaking my language so big. I was a cheerleader through university, and they weighed you in every other week in front of everyone. And I never quite, they didn't put you on a food program. And so I drank a lot more than I ate, or I would, but I couldn't skip meals. So I always was eating, and it was like trouble because I always wanted to eat. But my minor is in nutrition, my degree is in exercise science, and I so feel you, because I also have hypoglycemia. And I remember I was a school teacher, health and PE, and I had only had that day a granola bar. I was vegetarian, and I totally bottomed out. But I thought it was a panic attack because I dealt with really heavy anxiety for years, and I left the school that day. I said, I'm having an allergic reaction. You need to get somebody to teach my classes. Something's wrong. I got to go. And I called my doctor who worked with a nutritionist, and I went in because I was so upset with myself. And she looked at me and she goes, I don't think this is what's going on. I don't think you had a panic attack. I think you bottomed out. I think your blood sugar fully bottomed out. What have you eaten?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, come on with this. I was like so not aware. But I'll be honest, I have been chasing after really understanding blood sugar in a way that I would comply. It's not that I don't understand it when people speak about blood sugar. It's that I'm non-compliant and I haven't found the magic switch that would make me. When I was pregnant, I had gestational diabetes. They put me on a super strict diet, and I was great with it. And I thought, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. And I swear it was like a light switch. The second I had that baby, I was like, yeah, done with that. And then I did it again when I had a second baby. Right on time, I did the way that you're supposed to eat. And then again, have never, except for now I eat like five times a day, but I've never been able to really fully grasp. So I'm wondering if you would at least just go over for everyone that's very curious, what is the beginning of Blood Sugar 101?
Wonderful. So I love talking about this so much, so please feel free to cut me off. But first of all, I want to say insulin is the mother hormone, and all the other hormonal reactions in our body, including our reproductive hormones, have a domino effect starting with insulin. So when we understand that, it's so much easier to understand sometimes why our hormones are out of balance or why we are feeling low energy or why our mood is off and all of the other sort of things that come from those pathways. So because insulin is the mother hormone, everything we put in our body is going to have an insulin response, whether that be a spike and a crash or whether that be a nice rolling hill. So we want the rolling hill, and we want to stay in a specific healthy blood sugar range. If we're spiking and crashing, what's happening is we're spiking out of the range and we're crashing below the range. When we spike above the range, that usually will be if we're eating carbs by themselves or high things that are high in sugar or even just a meal, for example, that's too high in carbs and not enough protein and fat. So when we do that, we spike out of range. And I love to use the example of watching young kids at a birthday party, because when they eat the cake, a little bit of time passes, and then they're all running around, very happy and very excited and sometimes even out of control. And then another little bit of time passes, and one by one, their blood sugars are crashing, and they start to have meltdowns. Have you ever carried any of your kids out of a birthday party crying before? Because I sure have. And that's the blood sugar crash. And when that's happening, we're experiencing the same thing as those children at the birthday party, except for we have social conditioning, and most of us have learned to filter a little bit. Maybe we're not having meltdowns in public. Some of us probably are. But either way, we feel like internally we're having a meltdown. And it's because our bodies don't function well when we don't have our blood sugar at an appropriate level. And our brains don't function well when we don't have our blood sugar at an appropriate level. So what happens is in that blood sugar crash, either we start to feel depressed, hopeless, tired, hangry, low energy, sometimes dizzy. I happen to get blurry vision if my blood sugar crashes, which leads to a blood sugar migraine. And we will often be ravenous, and so we'll start reaching for the quickest thing we can get our hands on, which generally is also going to be carbs, unless we know what we're doing, because there's a lot of things that are easy to grab out of the pantry or, you know, out of the fridge that are carbohydrates, whereas a lot of proteins and fats need to be a little bit more prepared. So it's less likely we're going to cook ourselves a piece of salmon when we are crashing than we're going to reach for, like what you do, what you had done, which is a granola bar. And the granola bar would most likely, unless you're getting some kind of very high quality protein heavy granola bar, most granola bars are going to spike your sugars back up. And there you are on the blood sugar roller coaster, repeating the cycle again. So the most important ingredients, or what I like to call the love language of your metabolism and blood sugar, are your macronutrients. And we've got in those macronutrients protein, fat, and carbohydrates. Carbohydrates are what causes a blood sugar elevation, and it depends on which carbohydrates we choose. If we choose something like a blueberry, we're going to just have a little rolling hill. If we choose something like a Snickers bar, we're going to have a big spike. Then, if we pair that with a protein and a fat, the proteins and fats don't cause a blood sugar elevation. They more mute or elongate the blood sugar curve, so they're actually doing you a favor, even if you ate the Snickers bar. So if you were to have a carbohydrate paired with a protein and a fat, you would lower the overall average of that meal, and you would most likely bring your blood sugar into range. So fat and protein lower blood sugar, and carbohydrates raise blood sugar. So if we can find a metabolic balance that works for our bodies, that includes all three of those macronutrients, and of course micronutrients, which are, you know, non-starchy vegetables, then we can find our sweet spot for feeling our best.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about this more. We have a quick commercial break, but we're going to pick up exactly where we left off. So don't go away. We have Sue Van Rays on the line, and it's Food and Freedom. We'll be right back.
Emily A. Francis's new book, The Taste of Joy, Mediterranean Wisdom for a Life Worth Savoring, is all about heartfelt hints on attaining the most healthiest, fun, and inspiring life. By adding a bit of the Mediterranean lifestyle into your life, you'll explore the wisdom of eating mindfully, seasonally, and locally, as well as discover Mediterranean family secrets to health and happiness. And it's all in The Taste of Joy. Get your copy today at Amazon.com or visit EmilyAFrancisBooks.com.
Now there's hope for authentic healing. A new book by Emily A. Francis, Whole Body Healing, Create Your Own Path to Physical, Emotional, Energetic, and Spiritual Wellness, can help you discover a deeper way to approach your healing instead of using just the usual mainstream medical single methods. With Whole Body Healing and its extensive background of research, you'll be able to create your own healing path to achieve true and lasting results. Pre-order Whole Body Healing now at Amazon.com. You won't want to miss this priceless information. Whole Body Healing at Amazon.com by Emily A. Francis.
ASMC, the premier German company that supplies everything for adventure, from outdoor clothes to outdoor gear, even backpacks. Lots of quality and lots of specials. To start your adventure, go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ASMC.
You may never totally understand this man-woman emotional connection thing, but now you can understand your muscles' emotional connection in regards to your health. That's right, your muscles have an emotional connection. And if you want an easy-to-use blueprint to understand your muscles' emotion, then get Emily A. Francis's book, The Body Heals Itself. It helps you activate and heal your muscles on an emotional level. So indeed, the body heals itself. Plus, it's filled with tools you can use immediately. Find out more at EmilyAFrancisBooks.com. Buy The Body Heals Itself now.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to All About Healing. I'm your host, Emily Francis, and today's guest is Sue Van Rays. Let me spell that for you. Sue is S-U-E, and then we have V-A-N, separate word, R-A-E-S. Sue, where can people buy your book, and where can they find you?
Oh, thank you for asking. Yes, Food and Freedom is really available anywhere books are sold. And if you want to find out more about my work, and also you can find links to my book on my website, which is bouldernutrition.com.
And that Boulder guy, just so you know, it's B-O-U-L-D-E-R, like Colorado.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. Thank you.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to jump in. I all of a sudden, when you hear it phonetically, it's like, it sounds like Boulder, B-O-L-D-E-R. I didn't want people to get confused. So BoulderNutrition.com, as in Colorado. All right. I have a couple questions, because I'm not sure I actually put, when people say make sure you have your macros, I've always thought of it as a macrobiotic reference, like macrobiotic diet.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you said that, I was like, do I really have a minor in nutrition? Did I go to the Institute for Integrative Nutrition for the whole year? Not that I do anything with it at all, but I just wanted to learn some things for me. But that's when I hear people talk about macros, I think macrobiotic. I don't think my plain and simple carbs, fats, and proteins. Isn't that weird that I've never thought of it like that?
Well, I think that's very common. I think that some of the more kind of trendy food apps are now starting to help people track their macronutrients. But that aside, I don't think we talk about macronutrients that much. I sit down with people all the time, and they don't know what macronutrients are. And they surely don't know how to eat to balance their macronutrients, i.e. also balance their blood sugar and feed their metabolisms well. So, yeah, you're not alone, Emily, and I think this is a really important conversation for people to know that they can literally change how they feel by changing how they're eating, and that really involves their macronutrients.
I mean, it makes so much. I still protein pair ever since the gestational diabetes that I had with both pregnancies, and they both said it was because of my age, because I was 37 and 39 having babies. But I still, to this day, in my children, too. So if I were to give them a granola bar, I have them put peanut butter or almond butter or something protein, a piece of string cheese, because I know granola bars are crap. I actually do know that, but I also really like them. So, you know, I kind of have that,
totally.
That middle place. But what I want to ask you is two different things. What if you were to give anybody who's listening your ideal meal, not some fancy, but just if you were to put these together, what does a regular meal look like?
Okay, so I'm going to tell you about my very non-fancy lunch that I had yesterday because it really wasn't cooked. It was mostly food that I've had in my fridge that was either raw or, you know, pickled beets was one of the ingredients. And, you know, it was a really quick and easy meal. And what that looked like, straight up, no frills, was a piece of smoked salmon. Maybe it was the hot smoked. So I would say it was probably like 4 or 5 ounces, give or take. And then I had some cucumber cut up on the side. So that's like my micronutrient, which was, you know, the non-starchy vegetable. Then I had some pickled beets, which when beets are cooked, they turn into a carbohydrate, just like potato. So that was part of my carbohydrate. I also had half of a peach because the Colorado peaches are also very much in season in this time of year. So I was excited to get my hands on my first few peaches this week. And then I had a few pistachios to kind of boost up the protein and fat. And I think that was probably, yeah, that was about it. And, you know, it was something that I could put onto a plate in approximately 5 minutes or less, and it got me totally satiated for the whole afternoon until I had dinner at around, I think, 7. So it was pretty simple food that I stock pretty regularly. You can interchange, of course, any of those proteins and carbs and any of the things that you like better. But if we were to talk about maybe a breakfast, or even a smoothie that I do love to have in the mornings because I feel like that's a really efficient morning breakfast. My formula, which is in my book called The Satiate Smoothie, involves a good hearty dose of high-quality protein powder, an unsweetened liquid. So that would, most of the time, that will for me be a non-sweetened nut milk or something like that, coconut milk or something, coconut water sometimes. Whatever fruit is in season, I love to eat seasonal fruit. So I've been going back and forth with a lot of berries this summer. So let's say strawberries, that's your carb because that turns to sugar. So fruit is a carbohydrate. And then usually I'll put in a small handful of leafy greens like baby spinach or baby kale or even sometimes leftover romaine lettuce in my fridge or whatever I can get my hands on, cauliflower rice, like frozen in the freezer. And that will be another way to get extra fiber and micronutrients. Blend that up. You can add superfoods. Occasionally I'll add some like functional mushrooms or some maca powder or something depending on what I'm working on, but those are optional. Blend that up and you have protein powder as your protein. You have, I also usually add MCT oil or coconut oil or nut butter or something to get a little extra fat. But then I have
MCT?
My protein, my fat.
What is that?
MCT is...
What's the oil? The MCT.
It's a short chain triglyceride, and it is coming from coconut oil. Medium chain triglyceride from coconut oil. And it is just a really great way to help balance your blood sugar. Yeah, and sometimes I just use coconut oil itself. MCT is a little bit more potent. But coconut oil is great. You could also use another fat of choice. With all those things, I get all of the macros in there plus some greens, and it can get me through the whole morning without any blood sugar dips and without any weird cravings and just kind of on a smooth sail throughout the day. One thing I really want to point out is if you have a balanced breakfast that includes your protein, fat, and carbohydrates, maybe some veggies or, you know, something green if you have that option. What happens is you change your metabolism and your cravings for that day. So your cravings for sweets and things like that, carbs in general, refined carbs will go way, way down. They did a study here at CU Boulder in the early 2000s where they had two groups of kids. And they fed one group a sweet breakfast and the second group a savory protein and fat heavy breakfast. They gave them full rein on a buffet for the whole day. And the kids who started with the sweet breakfast ate 80% more food, primarily carbs. They flipped the group, of course, and they got the same results. So there's some really good science here to show that you can really change what you're craving by starting off the day with a good breakfast.
I definitely want to talk about breakfast. We've got to take a quick commercial break, and we're coming back. Breakfast.
Trauma or joy, shame or happiness, guilt or empowerment. Let Emily's new book, Healing Ourselves Whole, be the bridge to help you release negative emotions to help you heal on every level to create more joy, more health, and more vitality. Our body knows what we might forget. It's time to rearrange your inner conversation into spectacular health and happiness, and Healing Ourselves Whole is your step-by-step guide. Find out more at emilyafrancisbooks.com and buy Healing Ourselves Whole at Amazon.com now.
Now there's hope for authentic healing. A new book by Emily A. Francis, Whole Body Healing, Create Your Own Path to Physical, Emotional, Energetic, and Spiritual Wellness can help you discover a deeper way to approach your healing instead of using just the usual mainstream medical single methods. With Whole Body Healing and its extensive background of research, you'll be able to create your own healing path to achieve true and lasting results. Pre-order Whole Body Healing now at Amazon.com. You won't want to miss this priceless information. Whole Body Healing at Amazon.com by Emily A. Francis.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
You may never totally understand this man-woman emotional connection thing, but now you can understand your muscles' emotional connection in regards to your health. That's right, your muscles have an emotional connection. And if you want an easy-to-use blueprint to understand your muscles' emotion, then get Emily A. Francis's book, The Body Heals Itself. It helps you activate and heal your muscles on an emotional level. So indeed, The Body Heals Itself. Plus, it's filled with tools you can use immediately. Find out more at EmilyAFrancisBooks.com. Buy The Body Heals Itself now.
The Bright Side of Talk, HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to All About Healing, and we're talking about food and freedom. Discover your personal recipe to eat, think, and live well by Sue Van Race. And she is at bouldernutrition.com, and that's Boulder with an O-U-L-D-E-R, B-O-U-L-D-E-R, like Colorado, Boulder, Colorado, bouldernutrition.com. Sue, I do want to talk about breakfast because I do feel like I kind of have my lunches down pretty well for my kids every day because they're school. I'm here in Malta, so food's very strict over here. You definitely cannot pack chips or sugary foods or anything like that into the school here in Malta. They're very, it's Mediterranean, so you're on the Mediterranean diet. But I do feel that I do too many eggs in the morning. Like I really, sometimes I'll do some shakes, but I have one child who won't do it. The other one loves it with Greek yogurt, banana, fresh spinach, you know, but the other, is not having it of any kind. So I feel like I end up doing like an egg quesadilla more often than other things. And I would really love your suggestions for easy, healthy breakfasts that are brain foods for our kids and for us.
Absolutely, and there's so many options, and I know some of them might be limited to where you are, and I'm not so familiar with what kind of food they have available there, but I do think that one of my favorite breakfasts that can still feel a little bit like it has a sweet flavor, and it can still give us all the fat and protein we need is actually chia pudding. Do you ever give your kids chia pudding?
No, I don't, and I have chia seeds here.
So easy and it's so tasty and it almost mimics, you could do it warm like an oatmeal if your kids like something warm, but I actually at this time of year I often do it just at room temperature. I love to do for an adult person, I love to do about 4 tablespoons of chia seeds with twice as much liquid or even a little more if they like it a little more liquidy, and I usually will use liquid similar to what I use in a smoothie, but it could be coconut milk is delicious, like really real coconut milk, like the thick kind is so delicious. But you can use nut milk. You can use herbal tea. Sometimes I use chai tea because it gives it a lot of flavor. There's a recipe in my book using golden milk, which is that really wonderful turmeric chai flavor. And you let it soak for 15 or so minutes, which is generally when I'll go take a shower and get ready for the day. So I don't really stand there waiting. And then I'll come back and it'll be softened, just kind of almost like a tapioca pudding. And then I'll add some toppings. Usually I'll add a little bit of fruit because there's still no carbs in there. Chia is all protein and fat, the highest per density omega-3s in any plant and in any seed. So it's got tons of good nutrients in it. And I'll top it with a few berries. Maybe a little spoonful of yogurt or nut butter or something like that. Sometimes I'll put a little bit of maple on top or something if I want it a little sweeter. Some cinnamon is really good. And then, you know, you can eat that like you're eating a pudding, and you will be in such good shape with your blood sugar. I've gone on I always test it by exercising. I've done a 30-mile bike ride on a chia pudding with those exact ingredients, and I have been totally fine. I also like to add sometimes something crunchy like pumpkin seeds or nuts just to give it a little extra boost. But that's a really great breakfast that a lot of kids like because of the name pudding. I think if you just call it pudding, a lot of kids like it. But yeah, and as far as eggs go, you know, I'm someone who doesn't love eggs as much as a lot of other people, just the texture. It's not my favorite thing. But the other thing that I want to say about eggs, they're actually not that high in protein. So they do have a lot of good nutrients. I love their choline density and things that can really help us in a lot of other ways. But when we are having eggs, most people are going to have one or two eggs. And when we look at the actual amount of protein in there, it's not usually enough for most people. But having more than two eggs can feel like way too many eggs. So when I have eggs, you know, once every couple weeks or so, I will make sure I have another protein with it. So it's generally going to be like a high quality chicken sausage or turkey bacon or regular bacon or something that I know is going to boost up the protein level. And that can make, you know, kind of give you that bacon and eggs type of a breakfast. You can add avocado on the side. You can add berries or some kind of local seasonal fruit to get your carb in there, and that can actually round out pretty well. There's a recipe in my book that's called Boost Your Brain Chemistry Breakfast Hash, and they almost wanted to change the name of it in the book, but I was like, no, I really want people to know that if they get a high-protein breakfast, they're going to boost their brain chemistry, feel better. And it is basically, it's a hash, so it doesn't have any eggs. It has turkey or chicken sausage, sweet potato, and it's all kind of laid over a bed of like just wilted spinach with like an avocado drizzle, like a little bit like an avocado ranch drizzled on top. And it is so delicious. And quite honestly, I've had so many people reach out to tell me they've made that breakfast in the book and how satiating it is. So I think there's lots of options. But what I think is tricky is when we start seeing people eating even oatmeal by itself. Because if you think about it, oatmeal is a carb. Oatmeal generally will get topped with some kind of fruit, which is another carb. Often people will sweeten their oatmeal, sometimes with sugar, brown sugar, or even something like honey, which is another carb. And then they've now had, you know, three carbohydrates, no protein, probably very little fat, if any. Sometimes people put butter, which is a nice fat to add to oatmeal. But when you do that by itself, you're spiking your blood sugar. And your blood sugar will crash. And so many of my clients have come to me realizing that this very well-known, sort of even considered super healthy breakfast is not working for them. So what I used to do with my kids when they wanted oatmeal is a couple different things. One is I would add protein powder to the oatmeal. And I used to say, would you guys like chocolate oatmeal or regular? And they would, of course, say chocolate. And then I would add chocolate protein powder. So that would give the protein a boost there. Also, you could do 50-50 or even 75-25 where you add chia seeds. So you add more chia seeds than oats. And then you get that extra protein mixed right into the oatmeal. Or if you're feeling like you have more time, you could also just have something on the side, like oatmeal, a smaller amount with maybe some animal protein or some kind of protein powder, some kind of protein that, you know, you could saute up in a pan, like something like chicken sausage, and have that on the side. And then your breakfast is balanced. So those are a few quick things. Does that help, Emily?
Yeah, you know, actually, I think if you thought about doing a follow-up book, breakfast, are so powerful because we really don't, especially for kids. If it's kids friendly, the adults are going to eat it too. But in your kids, it really changes everything. Now, we have to stop for the commercial, and then it's Emily's Energy Corner next, which I do by myself. But I would like to ask you, Sue, if you can come back on the show sooner than later, and we can talk about nutrition for hormone balance. Would you be open to that?
I would love that. And also, I have a really well-known article that talks about breakfast that I could send you the link for to include that is posted on the Chopra Center. And it's called, I think it's called All About Breakfast, but it's something, yeah, it's called Is Breakfast Really the Most Important Meal of the Day? I'll give you that link so you can send it to your listeners.
Please do. Send it to me, and then I'm going to follow up and give you dates because I want you back, preferably
Yay,
as soon
that's
as
so
we
fun.
Can.
Thank you.
So thank you so much, Sue Van Rays, for being here, and I look forward to having you back.
Thank you so much, Emily. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you. All right, Emily's Energy Corner is coming up next.
Emily A. Francis's new book, The Taste of Joy, Mediterranean Wisdom for a Life Worth Savoring, is all about heartfelt hints on attaining the most healthiest, fun, and inspiring life. By adding a bit of the Mediterranean lifestyle into your life, you'll explore the wisdom of eating mindfully, seasonally, and locally, as well as discover Mediterranean family secrets to health and happiness. And it's all in The Taste of Joy. Get your copy today at Amazon.com or visit EmilyAFrancisBooks.com.
Now there's hope for authentic healing. A new book by Emily A. Francis, Whole Body Healing, Create Your Own Path to Physical, Emotional, Energetic, and Spiritual Wellness can help you discover a deeper way to approach your healing instead of using just the usual mainstream medical single methods. With Whole Body Healing and its extensive background of research, you'll be able to create your own healing path to achieve true and lasting results. Pre-order Whole Body Healing now at Amazon.com. You won't want to miss this priceless information. Whole Body Healing at Amazon.com by Emily A. Francis.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
If you have low vision or are blind, then listen up. There's now high visibility trendy sports clothing available just for you. At AwareWolfGear.com, you'll find attractive, stretchy, warm hoodies, headgear, leggings, even kids' wear to fit the duality of blindness, the need to be seen without drawing needless attention. Check out these trendy clothes for yourself or for someone you know at AwareWolfGear.com. That's AwareWolfGear.com. AwareWolfGear.com.
Music, information, and friends. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everyone. It's that time, Emily's Energy Corner, and it's been a long time since I've really devoted this segment to me, to just us talking on our own, and I promised myself that I would start doing that again, because sometimes I really want to talk about certain subjects, and I don't do it because I want to keep the guests on, and I got to tell you, Sue Van Rays, I cannot wait to bring her back on the show. What a wealth of information. We need it. I need it. And I'm excited to have her back. But I promised myself before I even went into the show that I was going to talk about some things that I think are important. One being, if we're talking about healing, we have got to talk about emotional regulation, understanding how we feel inside our bodies, and going through as we ask ourselves questions. Is what I'm feeling physical? Is it emotional? Is it blood sugar related? Is it food related? Is it energetic? What's off with me? And I feel like right now, granted the Olympics are going on, the world is really coming together for that, and I'm grateful. It's been really fun. My whole family's been together watching, and it's been fantastic. But this is also entering politics season. I'm not going to get political at all, but I am going to talk about how we handle ourselves in our own bodies and how we behave outside, because I find myself realizing it's not just politics, but I sit there and think about posting anything on my social media and realizing it's usually people I went to high school with that I haven't seen in 30 years, but it's those people that come out of the woodworks and they're just so hateful. And I've really started having this thought, do I just start cutting people now? Because I don't really believe in cutting these people out, because I really do like to see what they do in their life. But I really don't like to see how hate-filled they are and how fast they shut you down if your opinion is different than theirs. And this is just one example. Every person that's still on social media is entering the arena right now where the politics are taking over. They're taking over in my life. I watch the news all the time, and yes, I watch more than one news outlet, and I do have really strong opinions on politics, but that's not the point. And it's not the, I'm not going to change your opinion, but you're also not going to change mine. So I've come to that peaceful place that I don't need to tell you all the things I think about because they don't help. They don't really make a difference. They make a difference for me. I'm going to vote. That's the best I can do. But filling yourself with this spewing of hate, and man, it feels to me like men against women, boys against girls, how hateful some of this is, and these old stereotypes and these assumptions, and we have to do better. We have to do better no matter which direction you're going politically. We have to listen to our mind. We have to calm our emotions, and we need to feel what's happening inside our bodies, basically at all times. This should be happening all the time in general, but right now where things are just getting so heated, I want to remind you that we need to stop and take the pause. But you don't just take the pause. You take the pause and then you do a full body scan. You have to go through yourself and ask yourself all the time, if it's a physical issue, is it physical? Is it emotional? Am I having a big shift in my life? This is silly, but it's so simple. Right before I got on the show, I was hit with a little story that my friend knew would upset me, but they thought, well, since I handled it, you're not going to be upset because I already nipped it. But I was spinning. I was absolutely spinning because the underlying thing, the original part of the story, was still there. And I still needed to feel that. And then I had to stop because I felt this weird, like, tingling in my legs. And I thought, oh, I'm having a blood sugar thing. I'm bottoming out because I, like Sue, also am hypoglycemic. And so if I don't eat regularly, my body does not stand for it for very long. So I had to stop and scan myself and go, is this blood sugar? Is this food? Is this my body? Or is it because you were hit with a story that really triggered you in a place that's really deep? And I had to do the scan to figure out, where is this living? Not just where is this coming from, but where is it sitting right now in me? And how am I able to hold it for the moment to figure it out and then discard it in a healthy, safe way? Because no matter what it is, it's not whatever story. It's also the guilt. If you did something and you're not happy about it or you feel bad, I have also had that lately where I feel like I've been too loose in the mouth lately, and I've had to sit with myself and have what we call a come to Jesus, you know, like I need to have a talk with myself on, why am I behaving in these certain ways, or why am I having a harder time keeping things private? Why am I feeling like this? And I have to go through and sort of scan, where am I at? Where am I? And lately I've been overwhelmed, and I think I bit off more than I can chew, and I have a lot of plates that are spinning, and they feel like they're spinning in the air, and it still feels like there's no payoff, which has been the hardest part, because I feel like I'm working incredibly hard and seeing for constantly no results. And so I've had to stay back and go, all right, we need to break this down. What is it that you want to do? What are the things that make you feel good? What are the things that make you happy? If those things don't land in that category, how long are you willing to continue to do them before you step out? How do you simplify? How do we make things easier for us that doesn't cost us
whatever it is we're trying to build. It's a matter of taking the pause and doing the scan, whatever that scan may be. It's questioning yourself. It's questioning your motives. It's questioning what you're putting into your mouth, but it's also questioning what are you listening to between your ears and how does your mind hold it? How is your body experiencing all the feelings that you're having? Because no way are you not going through something stressful right now, because the politics are everywhere. They're everywhere. They're even with the Olympics. Look, some of the teams can't even come because of the political climate. It's hard to look around and not feel heavy, because there is a lot happening. There's a lot shifting. There's a lot of hate. There's a lot of war. There's a lot of things. But we have to stop and take a pause, and then we have to do a scan, and then we have to pivot. Because you can't change all of these things around you. You can only change some small things that are close enough to you to make a change with it. So then we pivot, and we start to clean house a little bit. What things really have to be here that make me feel weighed down, and what things don't? What are the things? If you want to take a break from social media, you don't have to do the announcement to everyone that you're taking a break. Just take the break. You know, I don't know when we became where we have to. It's the same thing, me talking about I don't want to post things on Facebook because I don't want the haters to come out personally, and I don't have time for it. It's too much. So then you have to figure out what parts you can handle and what parts you need to take the pause, do the scan, pivot, begin new. So that's today's Energy Corner. I hope it was at least a little bit helpful. And also knowing that you're not by yourself out there. You're not. We've got each other. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back here next week. In the meantime, make it a great week.